Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Brad, who is here to speak with us about his experience of participating in the recent retreat in Pennsylvania. Welcome, Brad.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Good. So, yes, we heard actually quite a bit for folks who participate in year-long retreat. We heard quite a bit of how fabulous that retreat was from people calling in after the retreat, people who had participated in it. And so we thought it would be fun just to hear direct experience from you, from someone who got to participate in it, and to hear what insights and awarenesses and that sort of thing you've seen.
Sure. So I guess that was maybe my fifth or sixth retreat. And I guess I had heard that there had been some concern that it would be, I guess, for a lot of people, kind of going over the same stuff, dealing with family karma. But my experience of it was, and this is one of the things that was noted throughout the retreat, is the fact that we're looking at our beliefs and assumptions and everything else that has been maintained through originally, you know, dealing with that being our family karma, and kind of what processes are we still holding in place. So again, not so much looking at the content, but rather the process of what's going on for each of us.
Right. And in particular, the beliefs and assumptions that got put into place and that continue to really drive us, usually
oh,
in
boy,
an unconscious
do they.
Way.
Exactly. Oh boy, do they. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I'm curious what you have seen for yourself kind of in your own practice in coming out of that, like having those insights and awarenesses in the retreat and then carrying that forward.
You know what was really amazing this retreat? First off, it's in a beautiful setting. I mean, I haven't been on a retreat with a group where it hasn't been in a beautiful setting. but one of the things I've noticed is a lot of times when I'll get there, an ego is under such a big magnifying glass that then I'll hear ego have a conversation of ego with ego about, you know, when will my mind be quiet? When will this shut up? You know, when will I get this? And when will I have insights? And then I remember walking up the stairs, and then it just dropped in, and I heard the small, subtle voice said, you've gotten all of this. You've heard everything that ego said since you've been here.
Wow.
And that's what awareness practice is. You're hearing all of it.
That is so big, Brad. Well, and it's such a commercial. What's that? Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say what makes that so poignant now is now that I'm back in the real world, I'm back to caffeine, loud noises and everything else, how we lose sight of probably, I'd say, 85 to 90% of the time, we're believing and listening to what we're hearing in our heads rather than being present.
Yep. So there's so much to that, you know, sort of plucking ourselves up out of our, quote, normal environment, putting ourselves in an unusual environment, and that in itself, you know, we often, it's like, at least for me, it's why I love to travel internationally, right? Because there, that puts me up again. It highlights all those beliefs and assumptions and makes all of it much more available for me to see instead of see through it. So that's one piece of it. But then you add the privileged environment to it, right, where people aren't talking to you. You have all the space, all the time to just look inward. And so I love that description of when you first get there. It's like ego says, okay, well, if there's no one else to distract us, then we'll just talk to ourselves, right?
Oh,
and it
boy,
begins
it
this barrage, right? Yeah.
It does. And it is relentless. You know, I was hearing songs in my head from 2 weeks ago before the retreat started. And then it eventually will say, you know, what is the meaning of all this? And so to just see how much ego is just under a microscope. And for someone that's got a few retreats under my belt to realize the blessing of the privileged environment and how intimate that is for yourself and for the other retreatants and what you have a chance to share with other people with that aspect of anonymity, which cuts out ego completely.
Exactly. And how rare that is, really. I think that's one of the things I'm really seeing in the new communication book that Sherry and Ashwini have just put out, that it highlights how rare it is for sort of authenticity to speak to authenticity, if you will, right? That for most of us, we're so conditioned in the ways that it should be, in the ways that I'm not being successfully and you shouldn't be that way, and, you know, all those things, that we so rarely get to directly experience ourselves, let alone anyone else. And in that retreat environment, we absolutely get to experience ourselves and other folks on the retreat, and it's an extraordinary gift.
Yeah, and if I could just say that if there's anyone out there who has not been on a retreat, I mean, obviously you may want to start with there's nothing wrong with you, because that retreat is incredible. To do a retreat and to have that experience and to look inward is one of the kindest things you can do for yourself, in my experience. Yeah. And it is a huge help to your well-being with all that you get to see through such an experience. So I can't speak highly enough about it. It's just amazing what it does for you.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I was there now.
Exactly. I can't remember who it was, but someone on the morning show was saying the same thing when Sherry said, you know, how are you? And they said, wishing I was still on retreat. That's all.
Yeah.
I
mean. Yeah.
And then we practice with
it
that.
Fades.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it fades.
Practice with that.
Exactly. You know, and that's so true, Brad. It does fade. And if there's nothing wrong with that either, then we just know that we practice in different ways at different times with different intensities. But what we also know that I feel like you're pointing at is, and we need to, I mean, not need to, but it's a huge gift to take ourselves on retreat, because there are no other opportunities that have the same completely surrounding us in that way that being in person on retreat for an extended time really has.
Well, it is funny. If you speak to anyone that does not practice and isn't familiar with what we do, they're like, I don't think I can handle that. And I'd be like, I'm tempted. I keep my mouth shut, but I'm almost like, that's probably the best thing you could do for yourself. You just don't realize it. So.
That's right. Well, and I was just speaking about this with someone recently, and I love your point about doing a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat to start, because I project what people are pointing at with that is they intuitively sense, I couldn't stand to be with that voice in my head on my own for whatever period of time. I couldn't do it,
right?
To not have all the things that we reach for to get away from that voice, and huge compassion for all of us, because it's so hateful. It's a horrible place to live. And so I project that's what people are intuitively pointing at. And I think that There Is Nothing Wrong With You work is really the work that begins to show us the way that we can be with ourselves, even as that, you know, is going on, the voices are happening, but that then we put ourselves in that retreat environment and we're actually outrageously supported to experience ourselves beyond that conversation.
Oh, yeah. It's incredibly moving in so many ways. You know, to finally understand and realize that love is within yourself, and to learn how to foster that for yourself. And then from there, it can go outward. But, it starts with you. It's just a huge thing.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Well, Brad, I see we're just about up at the top of the hour in just a minute. Was there anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
I just like to advocate again to anyone who's out there that's maybe new to practice or has not even considered trying this, take a risk. It's very healthy to have the rug pulled out from under you and to really have a chance to realize all of what's going on in your head, to be in that environment, to realize how much of it is, if not all of it, is in your head. It's an incredible kindness you can do to yourself, and I can't speak highly of it enough. So just, if you have a chance, do it.
Yeah. That's another good point, that for all of us, at one point, it was brand new and really intimidating and scary to consider. And there is a lot of support on that. Yes, it's in silence, in the sense that, there are times to go for walks and to be on your own, and we eat in silence. But that the group discussions, I think what people find is exactly what you're pointing at.
Incredibly intimate. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. We see ourselves in everything that everyone is looking at. Yeah.
And it's admirable. And you realize that admiration within yourself, you're projecting out to other people, and to see what other people are dealing with, it just helps you to realize that we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, we're all in the same boat. So true. Well put. Well, Brad, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thank you very much for having me on. You got
okay.
it. Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Take good care. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Brad. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I was just really enjoying that conversation. And I actually had a little moment there where I got tears in my eyes when Brad talked about what a kindness it is for ourselves to go on retreat. What a kind thing it is to do for ourselves.
Yes.
And that's it. That is it. It's just such a kindness.
Oh, yes, yes. Nice. And what dropped in when you said that, also related to what Brad and Jen were talking about, is we just don't realize until we're given the information about how it all works. We're just we're just not aware of it, how everything works in the mind and how it relates to our well-being. And being on retreat gives us that really concentrated opportunity to be educated.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it, isn't it, Michael? That's it. I mean, we really don't need to suffer. And the resistance that conditioning throws up to keep people from finding out that we don't have to suffer is really, it's pretty awe-inspiring when we get on the other side of it and recognize it for what it is, right?
Yeah.
That, you know,
yeah.
the environment that Brad was talking about, I mean, I talked to somebody afterwards who said, I cried all the way home because I just didn't want to leave. It wasn't that I didn't want to go home. I just didn't want to leave. And
yes.
And so to be in that kind of environment with people, I mean, you know, it's true, we're crying on occasion, but mostly we're laughing. And just, you know, people are, light bulbs are just lighting up all over the place. And people are having these breakthroughs and seeing things they've never seen and just getting freer and freer and happier, all because of exactly what you said, just realizing, oh, that's how it works. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I didn't know that. I thought it was da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it was really miserable.
Yes.
And, I was miserable too. And now I can see that's not necessary. It doesn't need to be that way at all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
It's grand and glorious thing, as we say.
It is grand and glorious. Sherry, before I read the announcements, I just wanted to mention that the tree shredding machine has been set up outside my home here, and so I just wanted to warn you in case there's some loud noise in the background here.
What the heck is that? Okay. Wow, they keep good hours, huh?
Yeah, they didn't consult my schedule or the open air schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go.
Reflective Listening Buddies offers weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. A new quarter begins October 15th, and the deadline to register is October 1st. And coming up, there are a couple of slots open in the powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, October 7th through 14th. This retreat offers foundational work in going beyond self-hate that is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought that one was already complete. All right.
Mm-hmm. Step away from the pressures. Excuse me. step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up at the Your Practice Retreat, October 23rd through 30th, at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This retreat offers individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week. In November, you, Sherry, will lead an email class exploration of how to alleviate stress through communication in challenging situations. The class will use the Enneagram to look at the causes of and behaviors around stress and how to use communication to get back to the present moment.
You see how cleverly we put that together, Michael? There's the new book, you see, with all that communication
yes.
stuff. And then you do it with your Enneatype and what your
yes.
issues are, and then you use the, yeah, that's good, huh? I didn't think it up. That's why I can be so excited about it.
Yes, yes. And you took away my last announcement, which is speaking of communication, Sherry Zen Ashwini's new book, Don't Suffer, Communicate, a Zen Guide to Compassionate Communication, is available to order. So go to keepitsimple.org to get your copy.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty little thing, too, isn't it, Michael?
It is gorgeous. It has these beautiful pair of birds on the cover there.
They're chatting.
Communicating.
Compassionately, using good skills and techniques. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
For a schedule of all practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And for today's show, if you'd like to talk with Sherry, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic of about 5 minutes is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, unless there's something else, I think we are ready to go here.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Carol from Port Townsend. And
hello,
it's so
Carol.
I had a feeling I would be on the air, a psychic kind of moment. So let's see. What can I say? This morning I think our assignment for yesterday or today was something about encouragement. And
For the practitioner.
For the practitioner, yeah. And one thing, I was in this, I don't know how long it was, but kind of a difficult time where, you know, ego was telling me that everything was a problem, and I was getting away from practice a little bit. So what I decided to do, was to make recordings during the day about what was going well, and then in the morning I would listen to them. And it's really fun. It's very fun. And everything is going really well.
As far as you can tell, right? That's all you're hearing.
I know. It's just amazing.
All you're hearing is how well everything is going. So as far as you can tell, everything is going really well.
Yeah.
There's so much to see in that, isn't there?
Yeah. I saw how often I got hooked into ego telling me that things were a problem. Oh, and another one of its favorite things was everything is going downhill fast.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just to record what's going well is really important.
Right, because that's the whole thing, right? If you're listening to a conversation that says, everything is it's just going downhill and fast, it's a hell in a handbasket. This is awful. This is horrible. Then all the information you're getting is this is awful. This is horrible. This is terrible. And the fascinating part about that is it's really not specific, right? It's just a generalized Everything is awful. Everything is awful. And what we rarely stop and consider is saying to that voice, can you give me some specifics? What exactly are you talking about here?
Well, actually, when ego is gripping me around this kind of subject, it comes up with some specifics that it latches on to prove the case to me. So
the case for everything? That's tricky.
It just brings up some certain instances or ways in my life that things are going downhill. You know,
But then it paints the picture of everything. So these three things that it can point out that are not as it says they should be mean everything is going downhill. It's just all awful because there are these three things that aren't the way it says they should be. It's just, to me, it's just fun to look at that. And then how you can use specifics, because there are so many more of them on the other side, right? There are so many things that are going well. You can just go on forever about that.
Yeah, I know, and it's really fun during a day something will occur to me that's going well, and then I record that, and so I feel happy, and then later I record something else. It's like, right, kind of like I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just builds
It's those wins.
So I get cheering or something like that. And then I listen to it in the morning because sometimes I can wake up in the morning and kind of rah, rah, rah. So when I listen to the recordings, then it's like,
And we apply the same principle, right? Yeah, everything is going great. Everything is going great. And the evidence of that is these things that are going great. And then that's our life experience, right?
Yeah, right. And it snowballs.
It reminds me of a game that I like to play. And it is, what do I like best about this? What do I like best about this? And so it's whatever moment, wherever I am. What do I like best about this? And then it's just, you have to look through a lot of stuff to see what you like best, because, you probably like a lot of stuff. Appreciate all that stuff, and sometimes, it's hard to come up with which one you like best, because, really, it's like the old Zen story. They're all the best.
It's all good,
That's the best geranium, and that's the best rose, and that's the best bird bath, and that's the best, right? So it's tricky. But what a fun way to direct one's attention.
Right. And the other thing about this is it just gives me, about things going well, it's just, like I said, it snowballs. And then, the greatest gift of all is being alive. And I see that on a deeper level, greater appreciation, not of just taking it for granted, but just how special it is. And, unique and short in time.
Yes, and really enjoyable. Right? You're with that focus, you're really enjoying it. You're really appreciating it. You're seeing how well everything is going. It's really, it's great.
It's delightful, and life is to delight in.
Yes. And it's all because of where you're directing your attention, and it's all the conversation in your head. It's the exact same process to be miserable as to be delighted. It's just what we're focusing on. Well, that's great, Carol. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. Sure, it sounds like what I practice is what I have then.
Isn't that kind of it? What we do is what we get? Yeah.
Yeah.
One process doesn't lead to another. You know, grousing and grumbling and complaining through life is just never going to make me happy. It's just not.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Yeah.
And what we have now is another caller.
Oh, now that's something to be grateful for.
Yes, it is. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. This is Jeff in Iowa.
Jeff, how are you?
Jeff. Well, I'm not too bad. I'm
no, Jeff. Try that again.
I am fabulous, Sherry.
Fabulous. And happy to be here, right?
And happy to be here. And yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I'm fabulous and happy to be here. That's just what I needed to hear, you know. Because the reason I said it was not too bad is because a couple weeks ago I got my divorce decree in the mail. And it kind of set me back for a while with the voices kicking up a lot. But I just have been remembering that a year ago I was visiting monk at the monastery, and that I learned so many things there that I have all of these tools to dig myself out of that hole. And so I'm very grateful.
Yeah. And you're just fine, aren't you?
You're
just fine. I mean, those voices predicted that this is it, it's over, give it up. You might as well just, you know, jump in that hole and pull it in after yourself, because you're finished.
They did.
In fact, you're fine.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I mean, sometimes it's painful, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's hard. No question about it. That's a difficult and painful thing to go through, and you're going through it.
Yeah, that's right. And I remind myself of so many of your just very basic fundamentals, like there's nothing wrong. That it doesn't mean that there's wrong the life experience that I'm having. It means I'm having this life experience, and that's not to put a bunch of attachments or judgments or assumptions all that stuff onto it.
That's right. And it's not forever. Nothing is, right? So there's this in this moment. And when we're present, the conversation with Carol, when we're here and we're directing our attention to what we're enjoying, what we appreciate, what's going well, then we realize, okay, yeah, there are difficult, painful moments, and there are a lot of really good, happy, delighted moments too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, in every day and every hour, there's something that's, even if there's something tough, there's something equally or even better that's going on.
Yes, yeah. And usually, of course, for most of us, the tough is a conversation inside the head, and the something better is when we get outside that conversation and into the moment where we're actually living. And using our senses to enjoy the life that we have, that usually is what makes the difference, right?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah. So I'm just calling to touch base and to say, you know, thank you for all of those tools, those many tools that are indispensable.
Well, Jeff, thank you for using them.
Yeah, it's like a book that's on the shelf that you don't read. You got to read it.
Exactly. Well, and that's what makes the difference. You know, you could be out there in the world, one more person, just mired down and being tortured by ego and self-hate, or you could be out there in the world, a person who's using tools to get past that negativity, to get present, to be grateful, to enjoy life, and to bring that energy to every moment and everyone. And you're doing that. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
So as someone who has devoted her life to attempting to support people in that process, I'm really grateful that you made the effort to get somewhere, to get those tools, to learn how to use them, and that you're using them to have the life that is possible for you to have. I'm really grateful for that.
Mm. Well, thank you. It's just a fantastic thing how the Sangha is just grows
and we
ripples
grow with
out.
It.
So it's a wonderful rippling effect.
It really is. It really is. Thank you for checking in.
Yeah.
Stay in touch,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Keep me posted.
Thank you, Sherry.
All right.
Very much.
Thanks,
okay.
Jeff.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. And I feel the inspiration in all of that as well, Sherry. Definitely, it's a big ripple effect for me and for all
yes.
of us. Represents.
Yes, yes. You know, we don't think about that. We don't think about. We hear, you know, Mother Teresa talks about smiling at people, and Gandhi talks about seeing God in the next person you meet, and you know, I mean, those are wonderful notions, but we don't really see that it's each of us making that effort to be present, to let go of that negativity, to be a light, to be a light, to make things a little bit brighter in the world. That's a tremendous gift to give.
Mm.
So when we go around all our assignment, you know, appreciating the practitioner, there, let's appreciate that.
Yes, yeah, exactly, because when I take care of myself, I project I'm much easier for other folks
oh,
to deal with as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, and an example, not that we do it to be an example, you know, that's not it, but if you take care of yourself and you're a happy, satisfied, fulfilled human being, when people are around you, there's a piece of information that says, you know, that's possible. All anybody ever experiences is being around human beings who are mired in self-hatred and negativity and miserable and suffering and trying to do their best but feeling like a failure and being beaten up by voices in their head. If that's all a person ever experiences, well, I guess that's just how it is, right? Why should it be any different for me? But I'm around somebody who's not having that experience. Well, how are you doing that? How is he doing that? Right? I want to know. I want some of what he's got, right? And so it may encourage me to take a step that I would not have taken otherwise. And that's huge.
Yes. Yeah, it is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Kate in Philadelphia.
Oh, hello, Kate.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just smiling ear to ear because I have been listening to Open Air for 4 years, and this is my first call-in. So it's a happy moment.
It's a happy moment.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Speaking up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And also just a huge, big amen to basically everything that's already been said on the call. it was just a joyous experience to hear Brad and Jen talking about the retreat, and it was certainly my experience that it was one of the very kindest, most beautiful, best things that I have ever done for this person. So I'm just so grateful to you and to Ashwini and to Jen for the beautiful yoga practice, and to everybody who was there. I've just so many times I've just felt so grateful to each person who came to that retreat, and just a true sense of gassho. My heart and your heart are one.
Yeah. It's the very best way to be with people, isn't it? It's
incredible.
All those beautiful hearts, and we get to experience them.
Yeah. And I've had the experience of, people ask me about the retreat, and I would say, well, it's a silent retreat for the most part, and just watching how ego just turns that into a different experience. It just truly was not my experience that was challenging in any way. Once I got there, it was just, it was so clear to me that is what made this, this beautiful, essential, life-changing work possible, was that privileged environment. And I was just so grateful for it. Yeah.
Yeah. And for most people, it is a bit of a hurdle, because we're so conditioned in the other way. And that's why, so years ago, this friend of mine she worked in recreation, right, in the city. And part of what they did was activities for, I don't know right now what the most correct term is, but for developmentally delayed folks. So they were at a dance, and my friend was super nervous, being around this population that she had never been around before, and just feeling awkward and just uncomfortable, and how do you this young woman came up to her and patted her on the arm and said, "It's okay, you'll get used to us." And it's just just one of those moments of such clarity and kindness and compassion. And that's what a variation of that is what we always tell people about the privileged environment. It's a little awkward in the beginning, but once you get used to it, it's just heaven.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I arrived at retreat, ego really wanted to know all the rules.
Right.
it was also just a really, really good experience to watch how you don't, there are rules, but you don't really need to know the rules. You learn them so quickly, and it's just like moving with the group, being part of the wave. It just was a very beautiful experience of learning. Learning how it
just
how
being
it,
aware.
Yeah.
Right. Just
right,
being aware,
right.
Just paying attention. And as Brad started us off and you echoed it, that it's such a kind environment.
It's so
if somebody
kind.
Does something that is, not supportive of, then, there's a note posted that says, folks, please, whatever. And then everybody go, all right. And away we go. So easy.
It's just all there from a place of kindness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you. It's wonderful to hear from you. Has reentry been okay?
It's been great.
World?
I came home and just my husband was so, so happy to see me just centered and happy. And he said he felt he felt my energy just making things feel better for him. And we just had a beautiful few days, you know, the rest of the weekend together. And there was this moment where we went on an evening walk down by the water where we always walk. And I just stood there looking at the river and I said to him, like, you know, like, I don't think I've ever seen it this way before. It's like, I was trying to describe it. And I said, it's like I'm in it. And that was so perfect. It was like I was in it instead of standing outside of it. And then I have to say, you know, a few days after that, I don't know, we had some little squabble or something, and he said, "What's the matter, babe? You don't seem as happy as you were when you came home." And I've really been, you know, ego really wants to run with that. It really wants to say, you know, what are you doing wrong that you're, oh, you must not be as happy as you were there. And
Yeah. Well, and there it is, right?
Yeah.
And why am I not as happy? Because I'm more vulnerable to those hateful voices.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. There's practice. Right?
Yeah.
We go on retreat and the heart opens and we see what's possible, and ego is not excited to be there, so it tends to wait in the car or you know, wherever. And we have a lot of time and space away from that negativity. And then we go back into the world, and we're just surrounded by it. And it's a variation on that in the water, right? One with the water. We feel ourselves being inundated by that conditioned, egocentric reality that is the world. And we're not as it's harder. That's all.
It's harder. And
that's why we're practicing.
Right. Yeah.
So you can just say, you can let him know, sweetie, it got nothing to do with you. It's hard living in the world.
Yeah. That's kind of what I said. And I'm, building a practice. That's what I'm working on now. So.
Building a practice, exactly. And the thing you don't want to be in charge of it or guiding it is that voice in the head that wants to tell you what you're doing wrong. Nope.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, take good care of yourself, huh?
You too.
All right. Thank you, Kate. Good night. Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. And Sherry, we're going to take a break now and hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, I wanted to remind folks that there's an app for recording and listening called Practice Recorder for the iPhone. And it's on sale in the iPhone's App Store. And it's great for recording and listening.
It lets us do all those, put it in a file and name it and find it later.
Yeah, like that.
Have it not go away. Yeah.
And shuffle back or repeat playback. Yeah, it's wonderful.
All right, good.
Thank you. You're welcome. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, this is Janice in Victoria, and I am so appreciating Sangha.
Me too, Janice. And I was thinking about you today because I was in an appointment, and I was waiting, and I was practicing standing on one foot and then the other foot.
I was doing the same. I had to take my husband to the hospital today, but all good things. But he had some they're just reviewing his whole dialysis and how it's working and doing testing on the samples. And he was there for a good long time. And no reason. But I left for a while and went to my choir, and I did the same thing at choir. I was singing, and I was practicing standing on one foot, back and forth.
No reason to be bored.
That's right. I wanted to give a little report about. By the way, when I listen to anybody calling in, I'm just saying yes, yes, yes. You know, it's just amazing. We're just not alone, and just the way I hear what other people are going through, or if I'm not doing something like that, similar, or I have done that, or it shows me a new direction, an area to look more deeply into. It's just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It truly is. And our ability to be together now is extraordinary. It's life changing.
Yes, all these modern tools that are added to our traditional tools. Yeah. I wanted to say something about what I was practicing with very recently was I've been noticing when I'm embodied, I'm present in here. And when I can move my body, no matter what else is going on, I can drop anything and just be present in my body. And move it. I'm so appreciative of what is working and not taking any of it for granted.
Yeah, which is almost a full-time job, isn't it?
It is a full-time job, yeah.
actually be appreciative of what's working with the body. Yeah. Again, not that everybody isn't, you know, right there, but we're just so trained to look for what's not working. You know, your whole body is just performing beautifully, and there's that one little, you know, whatever it is, and that's where all the attention goes, as if that's the only aspect of the body.
And that's right. And so I've been going, as a practice, I've been making sure I get out every day for a walk, sometimes two. And how I didn't have to listen to conditioning to say it had to be X amount of steps or this far or at a, you know, specific time
that
of day.
That pace.
That, yeah, any of that. Because that might not even fit into the routines and appointments and schedule right now. And I want this whole thing to be kind.
Because that's what the body really responds to, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kindness. That body just really loves kindness. Thrives in kindness.
Yes, and it's my only vehicle, so why not be kind? Because it's actually telling me things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazingly wise. So the little the little practice I have was, you know, now that the weather is changing, the places like I like to go are a little bit soggier or slipperier. Well, let's say slipperier, like, you know, maybe a path or rocks that I like to go up and over. And I realized that I was more hesitant to go to those places, but I was more careful, like I don't want to fall or something. And there is some tightness and tension. And I actually had taken some new Canadians to get new shoes somewhere, some, you know, good quality runners to feel grounded and begin their steps here. And it's been a few months now, and I kind of thought, do you know what? I think I probably need new runners. I looked at the bottom of mine, and they're quite old, and their treads are going. And so I got these new runners for. I decided I'm not separate. I want to feel grounded. And I've been going out with a whole different bounce in my step, and not worrying about slipping or, you know, not having the grip. And it was just. It was an eye-opener to see the belief and assumption that I have to use something till it absolutely falls apart. And those old stories about not deserving something or, oh, I won't be grateful if I don't, or I have to really earn it. And that's what I got to see.
Yes, well, and combined with, you can't do what you enjoy. And what takes care of your body takes care of you. You can't do that because it's dangerous, because you're wearing these shoes that are not the right shoes for those circumstances. But you have to wear those shoes because you have to wear old shoes until they fall off of your feet. So it's just it's kind of like the in the morning class in that one process of two bad choices.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it likes to take us, right? So, oh, yeah, well, that is one of your favorite walks, and that is where you'd like to go, but, gosh, you can't go there because it's slippery, and your shoes are dangerous under the, but you can't get new shoes because you have to, it's like, oh, goodness gracious, could we bring that to a halt? Which you did by simply getting new shoes, which your body was telling you, right? That's a big part of the point that you're making, right? That you were being informed of what was going on and what you needed. You were very clear about that, and then the voice comes in to say, "Yeah, but you can't because that's a." You know, that's too much money, and you can't have that. You just say, no, actually, that's not true.
Yeah, so great, because, you know, some of it, I didn't even see those beliefs until I actually bought the shoes and started to wear the shoes, and then it was like, oh, my goodness, wow. And so it's like that somehow the years of practice and I've just built up kind of karma busting warrior in me, whether I know that that's what I'm kind of doing. It's just like, oh, it just dropped in. Maybe you better get new shoes and just do it and no more discussion.
That's right.
And
that's
then,
exactly right.
And then it opens up, and I see, oh, I can see that there would
that
have been a discussion, and where it had maybe been in the past, and no more discussion.
Well, Right. And Janice, I bet there would also have been a push to continue to walk in those places, because you don't want to give in to being afraid of slipping and that sort of thing. You don't want to, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. you don't want to get, so also talking you into danger.
Yeah.
Talking you into doing something that, that could potentially have really painful consequences for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a complex of rottenness, isn't it?
It is. And I can see that right now I'm in the situation with being a primary caregiver. I feel like I have an extra responsibility to really take care of myself.
Oh, yeah.
I don't call it a burden. Yeah. I call it like an opportunity to really pay attention, because there's more than me depending on this. They are very
high. That's right.
High.
The stakes are really high. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that one last point before I let you go, I bet those new runners are really good for standing on one foot.
Well, they are. Because I wore them to choir.
I
wore them to choir. And guess what? I'm going to bring them to the monastery at the end of October.
There you go.
On repeat.
I bet they'll be good for that, too. All right. Thank you so much, Janice.
Thank you so much. Gosh.
All right. Gosh. Go happy.
You too.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. Yeah, Sherry, I love these little awareness practices, like standing on one foot or having a rubber band around my finger, or all these things that assist us to stay awake.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. They just help us be here and to enjoy being here. That's the key.
Yes, yes, yes.
So wonderful here.
And we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Beth in Pittsburgh.
Oh, hello, Beth.
Good evening.
What's going on?
Okay, well, choosing between two topics, I think I'm going to stick with the body.
Oh, we might even get to both of them. You never know.
Okay, we'll just
segue them, and they'll make them sound like they were just one. Okay.
Well, actually, they're really closely related, because life gave me the opportunity and a great gift in having a disease that medical science says we have no cure for.
Yeah.
And and the second topic is one of the Four Noble Truths I heard recently somebody say is give up soothsaying. And it kind of described it as, you know, just don't look to the future. And mm-hmm. it was kind of like anytime you try to do that, it's just getting out of the now.
Mm-hmm.
And the gift of being told that medical science can't help me do anything besides learn how to live in the wheelchair is that it forced me to find other kinds of doctors.
Uh-huh. And, people with different messages, right?
With different viewpoints.
Yes, that better word, yeah.
Yeah, and so for the last 6 years I've been detoxing, which forces me into my body. Because when the body encounters something, it encapsulates it in fat, and it just kind of sits there, and, you know, it makes you sick, but it's innocuous. But then when you start getting disrupting that system, it comes out of the fat and into the body, and then you have to kind of take care of your systems that get rid of it.
Uh-huh. Oh, interesting.
So it's kind of, you know, conditioning does that.
Uh-huh.
It's like when I'm not practicing, it just kind of sits there, and it just makes me a low-level sick.
Uh-huh.
Which is familiar, so it's comfortable. And then you start working with it, and then you get really sick.
Uh-huh. As it's on its way out.
Yeah, yeah, because then it'll start going into the organs, and yeah, you have to, it can kill you if you detox too quickly.
Mm-hmm. Don't do that, okay?
I don't tend to do things in halves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I learned
slow down a little.
Yeah, I did. Which is why it's taking 6 years to get out. But I have a new doctor, and he was telling me that I'm actually one of the healthiest 53-year-olds he's ever seen.
Aha. Uh-huh.
With a disease.
Uh-huh.
That,
and those two things can work perfectly side by side, right?
Yes.
That you are extremely healthy and you have this disease.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And my biggest enemy is when I start soothsaying about my disease.
Yeah. 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 Or even, I would add, soothsaying and owning that disease. Right?
Yeah.
Making it such a part of your life that it's your, you know, it's my disease now, and there we go into the future.
Yes.
Disease in me. Yeah.
Yes, which leads to being incapable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's an intense gratitude, and I know so much more about the body than I did 6 years ago. I mean, just the intricacies. But it's like gardening. I only know like a tenth of what there is to know.
Mm-hmm.
About the body. And yeah. It's kind of like when you, when I get into that place of I know how the body works, is when I start making mistakes.
Yes. But well, Beth, let's globalize that, okay? When we know, we start making mistakes. Right?
Yes.
Just across the board. That's because we're no longer here. Right, we're no longer present. We're in conditioned mind because it's only conditioned mind that knows. So I know. Now I'm in trouble.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and there's I was raised to do that. I was raised to to take tests and know things.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh
so
yeah.
I it's comfortable.
Smart, good student. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Good grades. Yep.
But it's
a lot of praise. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just sad when we look back on it, isn't it? Because it's so hard to let go of once we do that so well. Hard to let go of the things that we do really well.
Yes. Because people don't want to know that what I know. My whole family has this disease. And a couple years ago, and I went back and said, hey, you know, I can really help us. This is what I've learned. And they basically kicked me out. Because I'm challenging what
yeah.
they know.
Mm-hmm. What they believe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the only person that I can really be in the body is mine.
That's right.
I can.
That's why.
I'm the only one.
That's why the Buddha said we must work out our own salvation diligently. Right? He didn't say,
yeah.
"Okay, it's up to us now to save everybody." That was not our assignment from him.
And so the bottom line for me is that my body has been my greatest teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Because how you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah. And I project what you're saying is it's forcing you to be present. It's requiring your presence.
Yes. It is forcing me, yes, because nobody in my family who has this disease has lived past the age of 54. Mm-hmm. And I'm 53 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea what the future holds.
Well, you know, I was thinking, Beth, when you were saying that, when my mother was your age, she had been dead for 5 years.
Ah, yes.
So there is that, which we often forget about. I mean, you could outlive all of us. We just don't know.
Yeah, I have. I have outlived people that I went to for comfort in the beginning. They're gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some of them without warning.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So all those assumptions we have set up about, well, they don't have a disease, and so that means that, and I do have a disease, and of course, medical science, you know, we don't know anything about it, but we can tell you what's going to happen, and we fall into believing all of those things rather than looking to our experience, which is we have no idea. I mean, you could be hit by a bus tomorrow, and it would have nothing to do with the disease.
Yes. Choking is the big one that I think I'm going to die of choking.
Try not to do that, okay?
I'm laughing at myself because I
do your best not to do that.
That's the one that's... And it's just the same thing. It's just it's a different content. But I know I'm going to die.
Exactly.
I don't know when.
Exactly.
I don't know
how. Me too. Yeah. And that makes us like every human being who's ever been born, right? We know we're going to die, although so many people really don't seem to. We know we're going to die. We don't know how, and we don't know when.
Yes.
But we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so again, to bring it back to what this is requiring of you, is for you to be in the present. Because you're not dying right now.
I am not dying right now. No, actually, I'm not.
No. In fact, you're quite alive right now.
Yeah, and I've got two hands and I got two feet that work. And
Yeah. And you're not choking.
And I'm not choking.
It really is all good. Yeah. And that's where we want to live, right? That's what we want to stay focused on, all of us, whoever we are and whatever we're doing. That's what we want to stay focused on. I'm not dying right now. As Carol started us off, you know, everything is going well right now. Way more is going well than not, right? In fact, with the body thing, you know, if I'm going to go through all that's going well in the body right now, I mean, it'd take forever.
Yes. Or, you know, I could get caught up in the fact that I'm not 24 anymore.
Yeah, me too. I'm not either.
Or even 40.
Yeah. Wait till you get to the point back where you settle for 60. 60 looks good.
Because time speeds up, it seems.
Yeah.
But I can miss out on what's great about being 53.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much better than being 24 because it's right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's so much in that, right? Yeah. First of all, this is, and that isn't, But beyond that, I mean, I know people say this all the time, but no, there is no way I would go back to being 24 unless I didn't have to go through a single thing that I went through between 24 and now.
If I could remember I know now, if I could take
that's right. If I could make
this level of practice.
That's right. And these choices back to 24 year old body. Sure, I'm in. Yeah, but otherwise, no, thank you. No, thank you. All right. Well, so, did we cover both topics?
Yeah, we did. And gratitude.
Yeah, we are good. Yeah. Well, it's great to talk with you. It's great to hear you doing so well.
It's so scary.
Yeah.
It's so scary. It's like I'm warding off the evil eye.
Yeah. But, do the cross, right? You just turn around in a circle and keep them at bay, and just laugh at them.
Yeah. So live courageously.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Good night.
Down the road.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us, Beth, and thank you, everyone, for a fabulous show.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Thanks to us all for being here. Yeah.
What a gift.
All right, go happy, huh?
All right, go happy. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Good night.